Hello, everybody. So happy to be here with all of you today for our business Q&A call. Let's take a moment and get centered and settled and bring ourselves fully present to our time together today. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. If you're somewhere where you can't close your eyes or don't feel comfortable, close the metaphorical shades on your eyes and go inward, feeling your seat beneath you, the ground beneath that, the earth beneath that, and allowing yourself to settle in, knowing that you are supported. And then finding your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up. Take in life, expand. As you exhale, let go, release. Inhaling, opening up, exhaling, releasing, and letting go. Using your breath to connect deeply to your body. Using your breath to connect deeply to yourself, to your wisdom, to your heart. Using the breath to remind you and encourage you to take up the space that you need. And from this place, starting to tune in to what is emerging for you right now. It seems at moments that the world is shifting, moving at such a fast pace. What's emerging for you right now? Personally or collectively, professionally, whatever it is, what is on your heart and in your heart right now? What are you learning about yourself and your work? What is emerging there? Now, as you tune in, see if you can tune in to this. What is your biggest block right now? What's your biggest block right now? How is it showing up? What is it about? And then finally, taking a moment to sense into what is it that you would like to receive from our time together today. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in and out. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. All right, so before we dive in, and I'll open up the floor for questions, just a little piece for you guys. You may have already received the email, I'm not sure, but a number of you have been asking what's next. Our cycle is coming to a close soon, which is hard to even imagine that it's already like 10 months since September. It all at the same time feels like forever. So much life has happened. And also it's gone by, at least for me, in the blink of an eye. That might be because I'm getting older. And we're coming to the end of this cycle, and a number of you have asked what's next. And I have some opportunities for moving forward, some that are similar to what we've been doing here in Coaching Mastery Circle, and also some that are about kind of more concentrated advanced skills, some really kind of cool stuff that I think you guys will love, and then a combination of both. I'm going to be sharing about all of it on a call next week. I figured that was just the easiest thing to do, is to kind of have a call. It's going to be next Thursday, July 2nd, I think at 1 p.m. Eastern. I don't expect that we'll take the full hour. And you should be receiving an email about it to RSVP. Even if you can't make it live, we'll send you the recording with lots of information. But of course, as you guys know, it is always an honor and a privilege to hold space for you and to support you and to just help in any ways that I can. I don't take it for granted. To be able to have that honor and to be able to have that privilege, it's one of the just dearest things in my heart. And for those of you that it's aligned to continue on with that, I'm really excited to share some of the things that I've been cooking up. All right. So with all that said, how can I help you today? What is it that you would like support on? Remember, it can be an inner piece, it can be an outer piece, or a combination of both. Maybe you have a question about marketing or messaging or sales or operations or client work or curriculum or systems or anything, you know, in between all of that. As usual, we'll use law of adaptation, so don't be afraid to ask a question if you think that it doesn't apply to anyone else. If it's really like out of left field and not appropriate, I'll let you know, but that almost never happens. Even if you ask a question that isn't exactly what somebody else in the group is working on right now, there are going to be important pieces that come out of that question for everybody, no matter where you're at. So, star two, who can I help first? Dina.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Okay, so I'm I guess there's two things that I guess I'm leaning into. So I'll start with one, and then maybe the other one will have to be fleshed out in the group or something. So I guess the one that feels most important now, so ultimately I'm finding myself at this like amazing but scary crossroads, in the sense where I've been trying to transition into my work full time from the day job, and now I think I have no day job to go back to. So I'm basically on unemployment and then running my business just until, you know, that ends. So for me, it's like there's no plan B. You know, I have to make my like 2 to 5K month.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been thrown off track a little bit with the things that I was going to be, or that I, like the blueprinting I had done in the spring,
yeah,
has all changed just because of the world around us and everything. But I got a one-on-one client that just reached out of the blue, and it's the most I've charged. So I feel really excited for that.
Yay.
So I offered her a 6-month or 3-month package. She wanted to start with the 3 months and take it from there. So we just started last week. So that feels exciting.
Yeah.
My 3-month group program ended last week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, so these two energies I'm like harvesting and also, you know, jumping into something new, which all feels nice. But I guess where I'm getting worried about is the consistency piece. So I'm like such a person, I have a hard time doing like too many things at once. And obviously as an entrepreneur, we need to do that. So I'm just very conscious of the fact that I need to really start generating those streams of like consistent income, not just the random people that come to me or that I find. So that being said, what I'm leaning into now is I had 3 people in my group program. So it was a group program, but there was a one-on-one element too. And I have closing calls with them all. So one starting Friday, so between this week and next week.
Yep.
So I sense that I should be offering them something else besides just my moon circle, which is a low, you know, a low cost offer. So I guess that's one thing. So it's bringing in new clients and remembering that the people that I'm working with are an option, and I don't even really know. Like, I haven't fleshed out the next step other than I'm thinking it should just be like 3 months of one-on-one coaching to go deeper, because I don't think I could do a group since it was such a small group and one's about to have a baby. So I don't know if the group thing will work with them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, you know, I just figuring out the consistent income piece. I'm thinking just to focus on my 3 and 6 month, you know, peace practice, like meditation, spiritual mentoring programs, and like really just focus on that one thing. And then the moon circle being secondary because it's, you know, the lower end group program. So I guess that's where I'm at. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I feel like there's a lot of moving pieces. But ultimately, my goal is having to like bring in money quickly, consistently.
Yeah. Got it. So first of all, yay for bringing in the private client at the highest rate ever. And it's like, to me, it's like you've broken a seal there, right? So now more can come in. And also, I mean, Dana, I don't want you to, of course, you know, it's not easy if your job isn't going to be there, and I honor that, I want to acknowledge that, but at the same time, I'm like, that the universe is just doing for you what like, you wouldn't have done for yourself, which to me says that you're ready, you know, you're really ready.
Mm-hmm. And I feel ready.
Yeah, I know. And I've seen that shift in you over the last couple of months, like over the last 4-5 months. I feel like something has been turned on for you.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about all of this for you. And 100% yes to what you're saying. You know, of course we always want to bring new clients in, and that's great. But as far as I'm concerned, like continuing clients are always, number one, my favorite, and number two, easier, right, in some ways to continue with. So for the people that are in the group, what do they, I'm not talking about format now, but in terms of content or in terms of transformation, what is it that they need next? And it might be different for each of them, but based on what you see in each of them, for each of them, and where they've been, what do you sense each one needs? Tell me briefly, like in a half a sentence for each.
Yeah, so, well, there's two that, one was a one-on-one client and she did the group as well, and then there's the two that were in the group and I sense they're similar. So the two that were just in the group, both of them were just starting, like their intention was to create a consistent meditation and spiritual practice. Because they knew that was so important for them to just stay grounded and manage the emotional stuff that's coming up in their lives. So we just did a 3-month and that was what it was about. And they're on the precipice where, you know, they went from 0 times a week to having, you know, at least 3 to 5 times a week, you know, having their practice. So I sense for both of them, it would just like they definitely recognize the consistency is helpful. Like they love that touch point each week where we all came together, we recommitted and we sort of just talked of like what was coming up. So I think the consistency and like accountability is important. But then secondarily, I just think to deepen the practice. So now, quote unquote, taking it off the cushion and really applying it to the areas of their life. So, you know, each one would obviously be a different thing. Based on, you know, their personal journey, but just helping them again take the practices, not just on the cushion, but applying it to their life so they have more flow and ease there. So like a I sense that like some sort of like one-on-one coaching thing could be good. I'm just worried. I wonder price point wise if I'm like, yeah, because they were in a group to go to one-on-one. That's the only worry.
How many times do you meet with your private?
It's different, but in the beginning it has been weekly. And then, like the second time around, it was twice a month.
Got it. And what's the difference monthly between the group and the private?
So actually, right now it's been the same, but that obviously the goal is to make it different. It's been pretty much the same. So basically like my first one-on-one client that I just brought in that I say is like my highest point, I charged her $500 a month. And then we're doing 3 calls a month. And then the group, the one that paid the most was doing $400 a month.
And how many times did the group meet?
So we work together weekly.
Got
so
it.
My pricing structure is weird now because my one-on-one was like, yeah, it's all, I'm growing each one, but not at the, you know, at different paces.
Yep. And do you think the woman who's pregnant is going to want to continue or take a break?
I'm not sure, but we have a one-on-one phone call Friday, so.
Okay. So I think there's one of two things that you can do. Regardless, we'll get to the format in a second, but regardless, when you have these conversations, obviously you'll speak to, you know, getting more consistent with the meditation, but I think to really hone in on for each of them what it is in terms of applying it off the mat and where they really need it in their lives and what the gap is in those areas of their lives and what the vision is, that's going to be key to having them continue forward, you know, continue on with you. So I don't think it's secondary, the off-the-mat piece. I actually think it's primary now that they've been through this 3 months experience with you where they're starting to get more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just that's important no matter what you invite them into, to get them activated and to feel excited and invested in moving forward, and like that there is a need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So far? Okay. Then from there, I think there's one of two ways you can do this. One is to just offer regular private 3 or 6 months. And the pricing, so they're paying about $400 a month. Tell me if I'm getting that right so far.
Yeah, one's paying $400 a month. One was in my moon circle, so she's paying very little, and even that was a struggle. She was paying like maybe, I think she paid $600 total, so $200 a month.
I see. Okay, so you could move forward and still give the scholarship student a scholarship on the private, but maybe you meet less with her. You know, maybe for the $200 a month, you meet twice a month. For the person, that's $400 because that's about your privates. Now you can keep them at that rate. I wouldn't meet weekly. I would meet 3 times a month or even 2x a month, whatever feels better for you, right? And so you can offer them each privates, and whoever's been on scholarship can continue with that, and you can modulate the amount of privates that they get. I wouldn't go to less than 2x a month. And this would be trickier if they're paying different amounts, but I'll just put it out there, you could do like a pod coaching where you meet every week or 3 times a month, but it's 2 people in a private session instead of 1, and then they can both pay less than you would charge 1 person privately. They would obviously get a little less time, but you could do that as well. Because there's such a discrepancy, though, in how much people are paying, probably the private, just the regular private, is going to be the better option.
Yeah. Okay.
So how does all of that feel?
Yeah, that feels good. It feels good. Yeah, the last thing was just thinking of offering to them again as a group if all 3 wanted to continue on. But I'm sensing I would prefer to work with them privately just because I'm struggling doing group coaching, like getting deep, and I enjoy it more, and I feel like I learn more when I can do individually. I don't know.
I'd say if you're feeling called to the individual, then focus there 100%. Okay. And then, Dana, if you haven't already done this, one of the other things that you just, with all of the other marketing and outreach that you're doing, is I would reach out to anyone that's been to a moon circle in the last 6 months and see if they'd like to have a one-on-one with you. And it can either be free, right, and you'd explain that it would be to kind of take a look at where they're at and, you know, if they want to work together. So that would be one way to invite people in. Or the other way is you can create a low-cost single session. You know, we would title it something. There's something in particular they would get out of it. And let's say it was $97 or $77 or whatever it is, but baked in to the value that you would give them and the specific thing that would come out of the session would then also be an invitation into continuing the work one-on-one with you.
Well, I did do that. I offered, I mean, I don't know if I did it the right way, but I basically, everyone in my moon circle, I offered them last week, I offered a free meditation jumpstart. I just said, you know, with eclipse season, it's really important to have a practice. So again, I don't know if I overspecified by saying a meditation jumpstart, but I did that. And one woman took me up on it. We did the session, and I planned on following up with her via email because I create a week accountability container. So I didn't do it on the call. We just had the call. And then today's the day I reach out to her to just, like, check in and see if she wants to work together. But that's all I did, and I only had one person say. So I don't know if I should try again in a different way.
You should do it individually. Reach out to each person.
Oh, okay.
Individually and say, this is why I think you would really love this. You know, I'd love to offer this to you. This is what I think you would get out of it, you know, and do it one by one.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
exciting stuff.
Yeah, yes, for sure.
Good.
All right. Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. Keep me posted. Let me know what you need.
I will. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Who's next? I don't have any other hands raised, but I have a feeling there are other questions. Star two. Kara.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. I'm resistant to do this work, but since you said nobody else is there, okay. I'll go. I think part of it is just wanting to say these things out loud in terms of what's emerging in me. So I feel like I've been in this phase the last few months of just like diving into my programs and selling my programs, and like I have whole big wave of new clients, which is amazing. And I've just been noticing a pattern of feeling like I've kind of lost my voice in it, and holding so much space. And maybe it's just a story that I have. This summer I have we're sending out the film that I've worked on, as you know, forever. It's going to be available online next month. And I've just been aware of some just like resistance around getting involved in that process. So what's emerging in me is like this deep desire to like continue to use my voice, in particular around the racial injustice matters that are being revealed right now, and just feeling like I'm consumed by so much client work that I'm kind of sabotaging sort of my soul's calling
mm-hmm.
In the process, and I don't know if there's like an answer to it. Saying it out loud feels like a step.
Yeah. I don't know if there's an answer either, but let's do some noodling. And I agree, just really naming it first for yourself and then out loud feels really important. And I hear the desire in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
If there was an inner, I hear that there's an outer piece, which is a lot of client work, and yay for so many new clients coming in and for the release of the film, all of that, awesome. I hear that there's an outer piece, there's so much client work that I'm not getting to really use my voice in the ways that I want.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, before we get to the outer, I'm actually wondering if there's an inner piece that's holding you back from using your voice right now.
Well, it's a great question. I think there's two things that are coming up. One is like when I don't have space, when I don't give myself space, it feels like there's nothing to say. And so there's that like, well, I don't really know what to say, or there's a felt sense that like a lack of belief in myself that's there. And as you were asking the question, I also noticed this story that I think is wanting to be questioned, which is like that I like when I'm working with clients or teaching like other people how to tell their stories, that I'm not using my voice, right? Because I am, you know, and I think there's more of like a soul quality that I can lose sometimes when I go into sort of like these are the steps teaching mode.
Mm-hmm.
that is also wanting to be integrated in the teaching, so it doesn't feel like I have a voice when I'm, you know, talking about my film or writing social media about other things, but I don't have a voice working with clients, so it's all about their voice.
Okay, this feels really important.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that this isn't like a complicated fix here. I actually have a sense that it's much more simple than that. What would allow you to bring your soul voice more to the teaching?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll add to that, how can you?
Well, part of it is just like giving myself that permission, that starting point.
What would you need to believe in order to give yourself the permission to bring your soul voice into your teaching?
I think that what I'm seeing is like that bringing that, I mean, I always say that there's like the voice comes through practice, right?
I didn't hear that, the voice what?
Oh, comes through practice, right? Like we practice our way into a voice versus like it descending on us. And so there's this, what feels possible is like, rather than, you know, there's things I have to say in the world that are separate from the things I have to say in teaching, like bringing some of the things I have to say in the world into my teaching and like actually kind of practicing with that even before I share things in the world. But it can be like a container for me to practice.
Okay, so let's pause here. Tell me if I'm getting this right. What I'm hearing is what you would need to believe in order to give yourself permission is that what you think and feel about what's going on in the world is 100% relevant to teaching people how to own their own story.
Yeah.
I think your head really believes that. And somehow that gets confused a little bit in your heart sometimes. Or maybe the other way around. You tell me. But anyway, I feel like a part of you really does believe that. And then a part of you goes to, no. What I think and believe about these different issues, like people don't want to hear that. They just want to learn how to own their story. And you think they're separate.
Yeah, and I think the hesitation from the heart is just like a fear. That like having the voice in the context of telling my story is like a safe zone. I mean, at first it was really scary, but now that's become like a safe zone. But then having a voice as it relates to like speaking about racial injustice or whatever's happening in the world, that feels like a new territory for me. So there's some fear there. But it's ultimately like the direction that I want my work to move in is like through your ability to tell your story and tell the truth of your story, you open up your ability to tell bigger truths and to not have this, like your voice is not confined by only being able to speak about certain things.
Yes. 100%. And then it makes the impact of the work that you're doing, Kara, so much bigger. I think that one of the things that's happening right now in the coaching industry and the transformational industry and all of that is that people are awakening to the fact that it's not always about them. We're kind of a very self-centered community.
Yes.
Which is like, you know, self-centeredness is all good. You know, like we need, right, to tell our stories and like all the things 100%. But I think part of the awakening right now is that we've been giving lip service to, like, I'm focusing on myself in order to change the world, and now it's actually becoming more real. I get chills as I say this. Like, it's not just about me. This is about changing the world.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the moment we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Right.
So with that in mind and everything that you've been talking about, how does it feel to start to bring your soul voice into the teaching itself?
It feels really purposeful and necessary in a way that it didn't 10 minutes ago, because this is the next, I am, you know, while I'm one step ahead of my clients and like telling them my story, right? Like this is the next step ahead of, not ahead necessarily, like, but just if I am here to teach about like untethering your voice, I am here to stumble my way through that and keep expanding my ability to do that myself in the broader playing field of the world.
Yes, and to also take a stand for all people being able to not only untether their voice, but be heard. It really, I mean, as far as I see it, fits perfectly into the work that you're already doing.
Yeah, scary, but it's good.
Awesome. And then so where we've come to kind of takes care of this, the issue that you also first presented with, which, like, there's not enough time because I'm focused on my clients, but you're actually going to bring it to your clients. So there you
go. Perfect.
All right. What are you really taking for yourself from this?
Permission from a new belief that actually makes the permission real, that this is deep purpose work for me that's going to serve. Like, my ability to walk through this is going to impact my ability to be of deeper service.
Yeah. And you may not be there exactly yet, but I'll just share, like, what I see, even, like, the next evolution of what you said, which is that it's not separate from your work. It's 100% part and parcel of the work.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Michelle.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
Okay. I'm not sure how to frame this, but let me give it a shot. Last week, I had an amazing conversation with another academic coach who pulls the intuitive, like, she's explicit about her tarot use and pulls the intuitive into her work with people who fancy themselves very, very deductive. I'll put it that way. Academic. And in this conversation with her, like, I know on the precipice is the business I want to create, which is very much based on what I've been doing, is resistant vision. I've told you about this, right? Where academics and lawyers can really move their work, their daily work, no matter what it is, into creating the society that we want. And so in this conversation with her, I realized that the third, so there's the social change, there's the actual fields that you're in, and that the third pillar that I was missing was the spirit. You know, frame that however one might in their own mind, but that's, I was like, ah, now I see resistant vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was curious, like, how do I, like, this, like, resistant vision doesn't happen tomorrow, but it could happen over the next year or something like that, right? So mm-hmm. how do I start to talk to my communities? Like, there's the Twitter people, there's the people in my newsletter list, some on Facebook, about the spirit.
Yep. So I love it because I knew that you... I knew that you were going to go there with this. You probably don't even remember, Michelle, but we started this conversation on the last call.
Oh, we did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm cracking up right now over here.
Okay.
So I'm like, it's such a great example. I just posted in the Coaching Revolution Facebook group, I like, created mm-hmm. this little meme that says, like, transformation isn't linear. And it's this is such a great example of it, because our last call, whenever it was, maybe it was
right.
last week.
It might have been, yeah.
You were like, I want to bring more of the spiritual peace into the people that I'm helping writing with.
Right.
But I can't.
Oh, now I remember.
I'm so scared.
Okay. Right. I remember this now, yes.
So I love how, like, you're really in process with this. I don't want to call it, like, a shift. It's not a shift, but, like, with this evolution, you know, like, you're really in process with it.
I am. It's funny because I've been drawing in my tarot cards this week. They all show expansion and major shift, and, like, this is probably it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you're not just sweeping it under the rug, but you're really giving it attention, because it feels to me like this is such a big part of who you are, and that it's time to come out with it.
Yeah.
So all that being said, in terms of how do you start to speak to your community about it. And by the way, I don't even think it's a year away, just so you know. Like, I think it's going to actually happen pretty fast. Forget for a moment that you're speaking to anyone, you know, Twitter, even clients or whatever it is. Just talk to me. Why is the spirit piece the third pillar here? Why is it so important?
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, I pause and I get scared because this is the part of myself that I'm most afraid to share. I think that, like, I'll say that, which probably means it's pretty fucking important.
Yeah.
There are a few parts to me in spirit. I was raised evangelical, and I went running and screaming from the room the minute I was an adult. I was like, okay, we're done with that. Thank you. And I converted to Catholicism because I took some time to think about, well, maybe I should become a Jew. That was actually the thought. And then I took a step back and I was like, so let's go through this for a minute. You are a Jamaican American lesbian. And you want to add Jewish to this. Like, how much, like,
how much marginalization do you need?
Exactly. How more peripheral do you plan on getting in this lifetime, Michelle? It's like, okay, all right.
So, although I have to tell you, Michelle, I think of you as part Jew anyway.
Well, thank you. many Jews in my community say the same thing. I'm like, that's good. And they're all mad because I converted to Catholicism. But so I was like, okay, so you're not going to do that. That's like if you didn't to have an impact on the world that you want, that's probably a little too marginal a position to be in. So I converge to Catholicism, but there's also the real part that, unlike evangelicals, that there at least was a concern about mercy and forgiveness. So evangelicals couldn't give a rat's ass about that, right? So that was really important to me, and it was actually the praying of the rosary that was a very central part of how I express my Catholicism. So there's part one. The other part of it is that I've always been fascinated with tarot. I haven't actually used it regularly, but I've had tarot deck. I've had one tarot deck for over 20 years, and the COVID epidemic has kind of, I'm like, okay, you know what? What else are we going to do? You know, while we're locked up, like what else am I going to do if I have nothing to do? But I've started to study the tarot and deepen my relationship with it. So I have these two, but I say all of that because for me, they're important to answer your question because they clear my channel, if you will, about what is important in this world. Mm-hmm. It is this divine connection to why I do my business. It's why I write what I write. That's it, it is that pillar.
Yeah. So I want you to write that down because they clear your channel so that you can connect in to what's most important so that you know what to share in your work. What else? Why else is spirit important?
It gives me, because I was raised evangelical, this is going to sound crazy, moral clarity.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about that. What does that mean?
I will never back economic approaches that completely rely on exploiting people. I won't take stances that are racist implicitly or explicitly, right? I won't take positions, and I don't want my work to take positions that feed the oppression of any people on any basis. And it doesn't mean that I'm smart about it. It doesn't mean I get it all. I'm not making that argument, but I will not explicitly do that.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that what has been true in your experience is that a connection with spirit creates kind of like a benchmark for what is ethical and integrity and moral and keeps you accountable to that.
Yes.
Good. What else? Why else is it important? Why else is spirit an important pillar?
It helps define my legacy.
Talk more about that.
It clarifies, I guess, it helps clarifies what I'm here to do on this earth.
Gives you purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Any other reasons why spirit is important?
Not off the top of my head, but
one of the things
for a while.
Yeah, I want you to sit with it. One of the other things that I think I heard from you when you were talking, but this may not be true, so let me know, is that it's helped create resilience. So that you can keep on doing the work and not get, like, taken out by the inevitable roller coaster of life and the work. I might be making that up, but I feel like I heard.
No, that's so true, because this past weekend, you know, I'm in one of these places where I'm hearing firecrackers all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that night I had drawn a Wheel of Fortune card, and I'm like, okay, so I'm in the, I just need to keep doing the mundane because things are opening up, and then it's going to be my basic practice, my basic self-care practices that are going to help me rise to that moment in spite of how I feel because of my mother died. Mm-hmm. And at night, I got through the night with tapping, with making sure I wasn't hungry, with the right temperature. Like, it was all of the very, very mundane things.
Yep.
Which is what creates resilience for me.
Yeah.
And it felt spirit-driven. It felt completely spirit-driven.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. So these are all of the things that you want to start kind of putting into the messaging to your community. It can be, like, explicit, like, a whole thing on spirit, naming, you know, the things that we just spoke about all at once. And then at other times, it can just be, like, kind of, you know, inserting it in with other things. But you want to start, before you do, like, the full rollout of the program, you do want your people to start hearing about this from you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I'm not going to let you off the hook just yet, because what I think I'm hearing, tell me if you agree, is that in order for you to do this and totally, fully body, heart, mind, and soul, energetically show up empowered to share about this,
mm-hmm,
you need to get to the next level of healing around the evangelical experiences and forgive. Well, let me ask you, who or what part of yourself needs to be forgiven for you to get to the next level of clean with all of this?
Ooh, repeat that question.
Who or what part of yourself needs to be forgiven, for lack of better words, for you to get to the next level of clean with the evangelical experience?
This feels sacrilegious. I don't think it is, but probably my parents.
Yeah.
And then me for, I don't think I've forgiven me for stepping away from it.
Yeah. I'm getting chills as you're saying all of it. It feels so important and so right. And almost not surprising that this is coming up after your mother's passing.
Right. I feel like there's some, I suspect that I know that there's a space now for me to do that work.
Yes. So I want to really invite you, and you know, you can start by writing a letter to your parents. I don't know if it's to them together or each one separately. And just share, forgive, unburden, just express all of it. And then you can also write a letter to yourself or journal on the part about forgiving yourself.
Hmm.
And then let's see where it wants to go from there. How does all of that feel?
Wow. yeah. It feels right. It does feel right. It's frightening, but it's right.
Yeah. What's frightening about it?
Wow. The evangelical voices, like, you know, thou shalt respect your parents, right? And this feels like that's not doing that. And there's nothing but punishment and damnation if you're not. I think that's what's...
That's the evangelical voice, yeah. And what's the higher wisdom?
It sounds like enough. Enough. That vision of who I am and what it means to be in this world is too contracted in that voice.
Yes. And what I also just heard when you were speaking, Michelle, is that your parents don't want you to be contracted.
And that is true.
Yeah. All right. So you've got some stuff to dig into here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know how it goes.
Okay.
It's not going to be linear. It'll be a process.
Right. That's me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Okay. Let's see who's next. Second here. Involve.
Joanna, can I ask a client question in this call?
Oh, yes, 100%.
All right. This feels really basic after,
nope.
You know, the other questions today.
So I have
this client who, you know, this was someone who, like, originally wanted to, you know, do, like, a one-off session, and then we did, like, a four-month program, which is 8 sessions. And, you know, her main thing is that, she's like, I work for Trump, you know, like 3 or 4, but she's like, I just can't deal with him and kind of like trying to find moral clarity around next steps. And, you know, we were looking more holistically about like her desire for community and then some of the things that she's been able to do as part of the uprising. And so now I think that she feels better because she also has a 3-year-old and then a less than 6-month-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like switching to, it's not switching. Like it originally was like, well, maybe I'll be a nurse. Maybe I'll do this. And everything was really focused on like getting another degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of looking at like, the broader context first around her life, because there was all of this, like, maybe we should move, maybe we should do this. And so we're about halfway through, and I'm just not sure kind of, you know, where to go from here, because we have 3 sessions left, and she's still not, like, you know, in terms of, like, what she wants to do, it's just, like, so open. So, you know, we did an exercise on values, which was really helpful. And she's been, you know, really making steps despite the coronavirus around creating community and maybe like a house of, and just kind of seeing a lot of like her patterns around thinking. But I'm not really sure kind of like where to go from here in terms of what could help her with more clarity.
More clarity around career.
Like the next step.
Moving.
Well, career, mainly career, because I feel like that part of it is that, you know, she wants flexibility. She also has, you know, and she also has, you know, a lot of fear around, you know, like when women do, you know, we'll start like a new job, then, you know, and getting like a pay decrease, and kind of like quote unquote throwing away everything that she had done before. And, you know, and I think like I've actually had like 3 clients say this, like, you know,
like, maybe I should just become a community organizer, which I find kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, so it's like maybe go back to school to be a nurse. Like, everything, you know, she wants to feel passion. And, you know, but she also has, like, this great job security.
Yeah. Yeah.
And kind of thought she would be there, like, 5 years and then do something, but, like, less than 2 years in, she's just like, I can't, this is just, like, morally not aligned. But now that she's, like, doing more things actively, like, in the community, she's like, you know, because I think a lot of the women I work with, like, so much of the identity is wrapped up in work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it sounds like she needs something else. It's not about, you know, being part of the resistance within the machine kind of thing.
No, she definitely, no, she doesn't want to do that. And then at the same time, like, she has two young kids, like really young kids. She's still breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if it's, sometimes I think that I'm like kind of putting more focus on that and kind of allowing herself to, as not just a worker, but like as a full human being who also like wants flexibility, whether it's to protest or volunteer or, you know, or be available for the kids, and she doesn't really know like what else she would do.
Yep. So here's something that's been moving through my mind that could be helpful. But a couple of things actually. So number one, can you ask her, and I get that she doesn't know, and just like give, normalize the not knowing and that she can do this exercise even without knowing. Give her the assignment to forget for a moment like any of the fears or the concerns, whether it's about the pay decrease or time or just whatever it is, to kind of suspend that and to write out a description of what a dream job would be. Like, it doesn't have to be one that exists in the world so far as she knows right now, but just to write out, you know, if she could have a dream job, what would she be doing? How would she be spending her time? What are some of the things that she'd be working on? What are the activities that she would be doing? And again, like, tell her to suspend fears or reality for the purpose of the exercise. And then what you can do is you can go through it together. Oh, and then I'd say, like, this, and then the second piece for her to do on her own as an exercise is a dream schedule for this dream job. So when I say schedule, I don't mean like what hours she's doing what parts of the job, but more like how much is she with her kids, how much is she, you know, in the community, how much is for herself, like whatever it is for her to do, like we do an ideal schedule for the week with that. Again, suspending reality for a bit, other than like care for her children, right? And then if you could go through it together, so nothing may come of it, I don't know, but my sense, and I've done some of this with back in the day when I was working on, one of the things I was doing was career change too as a coach, I think some things will come out of it. Like, you can go through it together and then pull out, there are going to be some pieces that just aren't realistic, but you might be able from it to kind of start to shape what it is that she wants to move towards, even if she's not going to make immediate changes right away. What do you think about something like that?
Yeah, it's great. I actually gave her a similar assignment, like kind of like the ideal job, but this will help me like frame it a little bit better. And then I was actually thinking something around an ideal schedule, but I wasn't like, it wasn't exactly that. So the dream schedule. Yeah, because it's also like, I mean, she's very, yeah, I mean, yesterday we were talking like, it's just, you know, even with a super supportive partner, like it's just getting into all like the productivity and self-worth and, you know, partly like immigrant stories around like earning your keep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and yeah, how hard it is to find space for herself. Okay.
Yeah, well, and so that's why I'm suggesting this, because I think a lot of the fears and the concerns are standing in the way of the vision. And sometimes it's like we want to work through all the fears and concerns to get to the vision, but sometimes if, like, a client is willing to just suspend the fears and concerns for a little bit, you can get there and then work backwards.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great. I don't know if there's anyone else. I'm happy to wait. I'd like to ask another question if there's time.
Let me take a look. Hold on. Let me get, I think there will, let me get this other question and then I'll come right back to you.
That'll be right on. Thank you.
Okay. Who is this? Is this Victoria?
Yes.
I was saying, is this Victoria? Because I'm always so happy to hear your voice.
Yes, me. And I don't have a clear-cut thing, but I'm going to share a couple pieces to you, and whatever strikes you as important, you know, I just love the and appreciate the feedback. So what I'm experiencing right now, I think, is there's some beliefs that are kind of in there right now, blocks. I'm talking about some of the blocks I'm experiencing. And also there's something with desire and passion and some clarity that's coming that I'm trying to access, and it's just it's tricky to get to. So one of the beliefs that keeps coming up that's nagging is this whole idea of entrepreneurship versus, you know, a paid salary position, you know, and it's just so funny. It's like, you know, I went from these real unrealistic beliefs about entrepreneurism and things, and they've kind of been replaced by these limiting beliefs and abysmal results and this and that, and this belief that entrepreneurism is lonely and hard and unpredictable. And so what's happened, and some of that is, you know, just from me not taking action and changing those things, and I understand that. And others I really feel are inherited just from the experience that clients or, you know, the people out there, like everything, you know, I mean, the marketing is kind of driven by, oh, this is hard, or, you know, just the complaining and stuff. Like I've taken on a lot of that over the years. And just kind of it's chipped away at my desire and passion moving to that next part. And so now I'm finding myself having more of a challenge to let myself feel or desire or want. It's like I've numbed it a bit. And we spoke about it at one point in Into the Depths, I think the first training. I think it was a question I asked about desire, and it really hit home. When you had said something to this effect that I wasn't letting myself feel the desire because I had had some challenging, you know, some lack of results and stuff like that. And so now I'm trying to decide, like, not decide, but I guess decide, yeah. So now I've sensed that my vision has changed a bit. And some of that is probably true, you know, time goes by. And so my head, though, is getting involved in saying, okay, well, does that mean your ship has sailed? Because, you know, until I can access that desire and that passion again, then, yeah, well, in a way, yeah, but, you know, it could just be the you know, just I don't know, it could be that I'm not letting myself or something, you know, I just, because it's been painful, you know. And I will say that on a soul level, I have, and I mean soul, not even just like psychological, but on a soul level, I've really claimed and remedied a lot about my worthiness, my acceptance. I've done a lot of forgiveness as of late in the last several months.
Yeah.
And I think my beliefs now are just needing to catch up. And so, but there's still that desire piece. It's like, unless I get that passion again, like the fire, you know, it's like I'm missing a little bit of fire.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's because of the fear or if it's just, nope, you just take action, keep going and, you know, not worry about it because, you know, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
Because my
purpose is
not there. So it's like, even if it's a paid position, it's like, okay, that's fine for now.
Well,
you know, that deals with the loneliness or the isolation or, you know, whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, shush now.
No. It's all good. And I first just want to acknowledge, like, I've seen you move through a lot of those hoops that you were talking about. I just really want to acknowledge that, see that in you. And I don't think it's an either or between the, like, take action or not and fear. Like, I think both can be true. You know, it's a both and. So, yes, always to taking action. Unless you're in a winter, which you are not. But then in terms of the activating the desire piece, there's a couple of pieces. So number one, what are you scared might happen if you really turned on the passion and the desire, if you stepped back into that flow and if you really felt so passionate about the work and the desire to want to do it? What are you scared of?
Well, I can tell you the first thing that came up. I just want to kind of tap in and make sure that it's like body knowledge and not just head. But it does feel like there's this thing now that is present that wasn't before. And this is, and what it is that then it can all be taken away. You know, like, I don't want to reignite it again.
Yeah.
And then lose it again. So it does feel like it's kind of based in the scarcity kind of, you know, loss, you know, just a belief, right? I mean,
I don't want to activate my desire because what if I get disappointed and then it goes away again?
Yeah. It's from the beating that I've taken, you know, much self-imposed, but, and I don't even mean that in a victim way at all.
No. I see you. You have had some disappointment that is a truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I guess I am scared because that felt so good, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I almost went from that way high on the spectrum where I was really unrealistic. And really believed that. But, you know, all the claims and dreams and this and that. And you know, physically there's no way I could, you know, it was just unrealistic, right? Not that things aren't possible, but I would have had to catch up. You know,
it was a little, as we've spoken about, it was a little this buy-in into like seven figures overnight kind of thing.
Right.
So.
And then now it's like at the other end, and I'm like,
So
get into moderation.
Yeah. So if the passion, here's what I think is true. If the passion and the desire in that extreme way that it was before and the unrealistic, if you were to step into that, then that will probably not last. Because that wasn't sustainable.
Yeah.
It was like trying to sustain a massive, you know, fire without any firewood, right? Or with not enough firewood.
Yeah.
But if you step into the fire of reachable goals, even if they don't materialize or pan out right away, you've got enough firewood if you want to sustain that fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting about that is that now it comes down, So now it comes down to what my true soul wants, what my true soul wants. And so I think that's why that's my next step, is to really tap into that, because the other was more of this egoic hype, you know, this manic kind of, you know, dream, right? Mm. And so that wasn't necessarily, it had elements of my soul for sure. You know, there were realistic components to that, that my purpose was embedded in that for sure. I could feel it, drink it, just, you know, to excess even. And so now it's about not doing the excess, but staying in a moderate range so I can actually hear what my soul says.
Yep.
And so, yeah, doing that is sustainable and would always be sustainable by law of everything. You know what I mean?
Just, yes. 100%. Yeah.
So it doesn't feel as fiery. So like there's a part of me that has to kind of grieve the loss of that unrealistic flame.
Yeah. So if that hasn't been grieved yet, then 100%. That's one of the next pieces of work. I'm so glad that you're bringing it up, right? Grieve it.
Yeah.
And then start to step into that more aligned fire.
Yeah.
And I've never said this to any, in all my years of coaching and facilitating, I've never actually uttered these words to someone before, but I want you to play with fire, like literally, like light candles and fires and like fire and candle magic, carve intentions into, you know, like really start connecting to the element of fire.
Yeah, it's about, and this word has come up a lot in my journaling and even in my conversations with people. It feels, and now I see how it's applying. It's reigniting.
Yeah, and the reigniting shouldn't just be theoretical, or what I mean is like outside of your business action. Like before you send outreach emails, connect with the fire, play with fire so that you can it when you send your outreach emails, when you go to post, when you, whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, I can use that as tap into my, that fire flame, tapping into it right away, you know, so I'm communicating my soul's fire. That beautiful, deep, rich flame that's there all the time. And it's not the type that burns down houses.
Right.
But it's the type that warms the earth.
Beautiful.
Warms, right?
Yeah, beautiful metaphor for everything we're talking about. I love it.
Yeah.
Are you feeling all of that inside of you?
Yeah. And I can also feel the excitement of when it can burn down the forest, but for a healthy way.
Yes. Okay. So we're already starting
once in
to
a
act.
While.
Yeah. Good. So I hear that the fire is already being activated. Good.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're so welcome. Good. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm going to take Tara, and then I'm going to swing back to you, Imbal, and I'm going to get you, Dana, also. Tara.
Can you hear me, Joanna?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay. Awesome. My question is, I, as you know, I've decided to offer the kind of mini VIP days because it's been more challenging to sell, you know, bigger packages. So I am wondering what your thoughts are on the best way to share that, you know, in the enrollment conversation, because there is kind of two options. I mean, certainly I would love someone to work for me in a 6-month program, but they may not. And then I may also want to circle back to a couple people who I didn't make that offer to because I didn't have it, and just check in with them and see if that might feel more aligned. So I'm just wondering your thoughts on how to best approach that.
Yeah, a couple of things. So first of all, for anyone that you've spoken to, like in the last 6 months, that you felt a connection to, and you know that they felt a connection to you and they were interested, but they just weren't ready to step in, or for financial reasons couldn't, I would, you know, individually circle back to each of them, let them know that you've been thinking about them, ask them how they are, and say, you know, when we last spoke, I didn't have this opportunity, but I do have it now in a limited capacity, and you're one of the first people that I thought of because XYZ, you know, just write out why, what they would really get from it, you know, based on whatever you remember from their vision and their gap. And I would lay out the cost, too, in that email. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I would ask them if it's something that is piquing their interest and would it make sense to briefly hop on the phone about it.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, so that's what I do for those guys. And then was there a question there around, like, how to approach it in enrollment conversations?
Yeah, exactly.
So once you go through gap in vision with a prospect, you'll not always, like not 100% of the time, but most of the time, and tell me if you know what I'm talking about with this, once you go through gap in vision, most of the time you can kind of get a sense if it's someone who is willing to make a bigger investment, or willing or able to make a bigger investment. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do.
You can't all, sometimes you don't know, right? But sometimes you can just tell, you know, especially like from what their gap is, right? So if you can tell, then let's say it's someone, now the psychology of someone who is willing and able to spend more is different than the psychology of someone who's willing and or able to spend less. The psychology of the someone who's willing or able to spend less is they're kind of looking for the cheaper, like the best deal, quote unquote. Whereas the other type of person is, for them, it's about like, I want the best. So you want to keep that in mind. One isn't better than the other. You want to just keep in mind, like, if you can tell who you're speaking to. And then based on who that is, when you get to the bridge, you want to use that psychology. So for the person who is willing and who is not willing and or able to pay more, what you're going to say is, you know, I have this 12-month private program. It's all inclusive. It's very luxury, and it would be amazing for you. And I can certainly share about it if you want. But the truth is, my sense is that a great next step for you would be the blah, blah, blah VIP, because we would be able to address and then, you know, talk about the biggest issues that came forward. Through it, you would get this, this, and that, and then you can see if you want to continue or not. So that's the, right? But then with the other person, if it's someone who you sense is in the other category, then you kind of reverse that, right? You say, I have a VIP. It's a one-shot deal. Some people really love it. But in a VIP, like, it, just to be honest, we're really only going to be able to get through X, whatever is, like, one piece they need. I'd be honored for you to step into that. My sense is what would be more aligned for you is, and then speak about the private. Right, mm-hmm. And even in that case, the person may still go for the VIP or whatever, but it's just, it's like what you're emphasizing for each.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful. Okay, thank you. I am complete. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. I pace when I coach, so I'm running back to my computer now. Okay, Inval.
So I wanted to ask, thanks for taking this. I wanted to ask about another client, and it kind of like, we'll just want to make sure that I'm not like missing anything. So this is the woman who wants space from her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really sweet to speak yesterday because we also did a mid-program assessment, which I highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like she's come really far with like two out of her three main goals. But it's like she has this construct. So I asked her to do a risk analysis and she's an engineer. So she really loved it. Kind of like, what are the risks of, you know, what are the risks and benefits of taking the 6-month break? And what are the risks and benefits of not?
Mm-hmm.
And it really outlined to her, that she would be devastated if she lost her husband. But she has this idea that, so there's two things. Their sex life is not exciting for her and does not fulfill her. So her idea is that if they take space, then they'll both get more sexual and emotional experience. So we talked about how that, like, that may not actually happen. And also that, like, kind of working on this part of their relationship is going to be important regardless. And so then, and we've been talking about that. And so that yesterday we focused on like how she could start to share more of like where she's at with him, not in terms of like, I want a break, but then she also has, but just kind of like around not feeling satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
But she has this fear that, that if she doesn't have kind of like these exploits, then like, you know, that like she'll feel like she's missed out on something and then they're going to end up having kids and divorced. So it's like she has this idea that she's missing something and that the only way to get that is to have this 6-month break.
Yep. So what's the question?
And meanwhile, because of their financial goals, now her idea is also to do that when they're living in the same roof.
So I just
I don't know how to help her with kind of, figure out like, you know, just really like to make an informed choice. I feel like that there's something that I'm not able to get to with her around, you know, this fear of missing out.
Do you have any unchecked,
yeah, because I think,
filters about it?
You know, I was thinking about, I think there is a thing around like you love and respect like this person, like, so, you know, there's a part of me that's worries that I don't know how to help them, like, in terms of like their sex life.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've given her
some,
like,
you know, like,
yeah,
that's not,
so I'm like, do I, yeah, so I'm like, do I, you know, do I recommend them like someone else who like they can work with as a couple,
And yeah, I think that there's like a part of me that I'm like really conscious about that I'm just like, I don't know that it's like I don't get it because I don't like need to get it, but I think that it's more like I want her to be, I want to make sure that we're really clear on this like missing out piece. Because yeah, you always like miss out on certain things when you do other things. So is that just about both of them getting more sexual and emotional experience, or is it something more?
Mm-hmm.
And she also has a thing where it's like in all of her past relationships, only when they broke up did she truly appreciate the person. So the goal is actually to be confident that he's the person she wants to be with. But the only thing getting in the way of that confidence seems to be the sex life, because she wants, like, she loves him and wants to parent with him. Like, she respects him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like,
so,
I feel
okay,
like
let me tell you what I think
yeah.
I'm hearing. I might not be. But what I think I'm hearing is not coming from an unchecked, filtered place of, like, it's not okay to have extramarital sex or, you know, anything like that. What you're really seeing and is sensing is right for her is that if you want a better sex life with your partner, even if you go and have other, you know, experiences with other people, you still have to work on the sex life with your partner. Like, that's not going to fix their sex life. And therefore, the process or the order of things really should be first, like, work on it with your husband. Is it husband or partner? I can't remember.
Husband.
Husband. Like, work on it with your husband, and you may want to refer out for that. And then if they work on it for X amount of time and it's not really evolving, then come to this place of, am I missing out by not being with other people? But it's almost like an invalid assumption until they do the work.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you know, we've talked about, I'm like, you know, about opening up the relationship or, you know, or like, but it's like she wants him to have more experience, but she also has this idea if we break up and come back together, it'll be a new relationship. Because mm-hmm. that's happened in all her old relationships, but not this one. And that just seems to be like a pattern where it's like she's convinced I'll know once we break up and like come back together because that'll make me appreciate him more. So it's like, I'm like, it seems kind of self-sabotage-y, but she's, yeah, I can't get through that part.
So I would ask her, and I'm checking my filters, by the way, you know, as I'm kind of guiding you here, because I'm like, do I, you know, because I think there's like, there's so many things in this. I would share with her some of your thoughts, like straight up. It sounds like you have a bit already, but really kind of lay it out for her. And then
yeah.
I would ask her if she was willing to not consider for 3 months to not consider breaking up or, you know, taking a break from the relationship, but instead to like really actively work on some of these pieces. Some are going to be her work by herself, and some of it is going to be her work with him. And in that 3 months, they would work on their sex life together. But it sounds like one of the things that would be really helpful for her is to work on actively appreciating him. And so one of the exercises that I sometimes give my clients, which can be really helpful, it has come up for me in my own life. it's kind of like an exercise I made up for myself that has been really helpful through some patches, is to see her husband, and you can use whatever languaging is going to be right for her with this, but to basically see him as her king. Like, she's the queen and he's the king. You know, this is just an incredible partner, and to like actively, almost like we do in rewiring, where it's like you're really training your brain to actively be in appreciation and to see him through different eyes, through the eyes that she wants to see him in as she goes through her day. And to see if, and there may be other exercises, you know, based on what some of her pieces and concerns are, but to see if these things shift anything without even having the distraction of the question for 3 months of, should we take a break? And then after 3 months, if they've really been working on this stuff, if the question still wants to come up, then she's going to be in a better place to actually make a decision about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this exercise. We've worked a lot on kind of like her judgments of him and kind of seeing like taking responsibility for her own reactions. Mm. But I think that this will kind of take it to like the next level. And kind of, you know, if I tailor it for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, like, anything around, like, this pattern that, like, you know, like, yeah, how to, like, be, how to know, like, how to be confident that, like, she's making the right choice in this, like, fear of missing out.
Well, that's why I'm saying to actually not make the choice, to put off making
right
for 3 months,
right,
not even
okay
have that be a question. Because I think that question is actually distracting her from doing the much harder work of working on the relationship and herself.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's why I was like, look, the communication, the intimacy, like, all of that stuff, like, you're going to have to work on, like, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So if she can, that's what I'm saying, ask her if she's willing to just take that question off the table, not forever, but, like, you can put on the calendar that in 3 months from now, you will come back to it.
Yeah, right on. Thank you for the extra time.
You're welcome. Okay. I don't think there's any other hands raised. Thank you for those of you that hung on. I hope you got exactly what you needed from our call today. Any follow-up questions that come up, any other things that are on your mind, post in the Facebook group, and I'm sending you all a big hug. Bye. The moderator has left the conversation.